Well, let's think of the shutdown as the third strike in a three strikes and you're out game. So the first strike was the flat and decreasing NIH funding levels over the past 6 to 8 years. And the second strike was what the sequester did on top of that. And then the third strike has been the shutdown. And it's impossible to tease out all of the effects from each other. But for our own work, we've had to curtail or eliminate important promising experiments that would lead to a better understanding of not just the normal function of the immune system, but the function of the immune system in those with immune-deficient diseases and also development of childhood cancers like leukemia. A lot of our animal studies have had to be cut back because they're very, very expensive. We've had to, not just me, but a number of us at Hopkins have had to downsize our labs, not necessarily through laying off people, but by attrition. So if somebody leaves, graduates, or moves on to another position, we don't fill those positions. We wait a while. And for many of us, the grants have decreased, the laboratories, rather, have decreased in size. We're doing less and less innovative work and more safe stuff because, Rob, as you know, when you batten down the hatches, it's really hard to get people to invest in risky and very important, potentially life-saving work.
What about research with actual human patients? Is that being scaled back? And I know just from the pancreatic cancer research done at Hopkins that, you know, patients are being used for some of these experimental treatments. And so these patients are getting better because of the research.
Absolutely.
Is that having an impact there?
Yes. And once again, dissecting out the effects of the decrease in real NIH funding and the effect of the sequester is hard to do. But we do know that we've seen a substantial decrease at Johns Hopkins in the number of new clinical studies.
Does this mean you and other researchers at Hopkins have to turn to private funding to continue research or more on private funding?
In some ways, yes, but that's also dicey. We were lucky to have a large network of friends, and I would count among them members of the WBAL community that have stepped up to the plate and supported our work. But the amount of funding that we get from the NIH, which is to our institute alone about $90 million a year, that's a very difficult hole to fill. While our friends have allowed us to do a lot of innovative work, maintaining our research programs is going to require that federal funding for research be maintained. Now, thinking about the effect of the shutdown, I really have to think about my colleagues at the NIH proper. You know, the NIH has two big pieces. They've got an inside piece, which is about 10 to 15% of their total budget, and an outside piece, which is about 85% of their total budget. And all those scientists on the inside are direct government employees, whether they head the labs or whether they're postdoctoral fellows or whether they're on staff. And a large fraction of those folks have been told they cannot go into the laboratory, which is astonishing. So here we're quite a ways into the shutdown, and with the exception of maintaining animals and some cells in the lab, they've not been able to go in. They've had to interrupt their work, and we're talking about an almost complete interruption of work at the world's largest biomedical research institution.
It sounds like this problem won't get better if the shutdown ends. I mean, in terms of decreasing federal funding, that problem isn't going to go away, at least, or that challenge isn't going to go away for researchers.
No, the challenge won't go away. The shutdown's beginning to wreak havoc outside of the walls of the NIH, for example. We can submit our grant proposals, but they're not going to be looked at. The grant review process has completely stopped, so anybody whose grants are being reviewed right now can wait who knows how long until that review takes place.
It sounds like grant reviews take a long time to begin with. I mean, it doesn't sound like something that happens overnight.
Right. That takes the grant review process takes months. And imagine the people who prepare their reviews and bought their plane tickets and in some instances landed at the other airport only to find that the review is canceled because we've got the shutdown. And that's actually happened this month. But you're absolutely right, Rob. This is just one piece of things. And when the shutdown goes away, that'll be step one. But then we have to go back to think about what were the causes of the decrease in medical research funding in the United States. And for that, I would only hope that that Congress and the president could take up a balanced approach to the budgetary process and the budget deficit that looks at both sides of the ledger. And I would only hope that with some reason, reasonable people could come together over the issue and say, here are our national priorities, and here are the places where we need to preserve our investment.